right. Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Yeah, awesome. So good to have you, all of you, here this morning. As usual, there'll be some more who filter in as we get rolling this morning. But thank you for being here at Faith Church, making us part of your Sunday morning. You could be doing a billion other things, especially with such great weather outside. But I appreciate that you're in here sweating it with us. Right, Sharon? You're back there. You got a fan next to you. Pick one up and flag it on yourself, man. There you go. It's a little warm in here. As usual, unfortunately, we don't have central heat and air, right? So we just live with what we got, and so we're gonna sweat together, and that's a good thing. Part of sweating together and part of what we're doing is we're embracing the heat with Hawaiian Shirt Sunday, all right? So if you've got a Hawaiian shirt or something bright and colorful, or even just your bright and colorful smile and face as you're engaged with us this morning, I thank you for doing that. If you're sitting at home in your Hawaiian shirt, take a photo and send it to us on Facebook. We love to see that, all right? Hashtag Faith Hawaiian Shirt. Make sure you're doing that for us. If you're online with us, don't feel like you're left out or just sitting there on your own. If you're in pajamas, you might want to leave that picture offline. You do what you do on that. That's totally up to you. I'm not telling you how to live your life. You do what you want. But so thank you for participating this morning, engaging with us. The kids are going to have awesome time as we're going to be outside and engaging things downstairs, which takes me to the fact that if you're new here, that one, you get a guest bag before you get out of here if you're in person. Two, that you get a free gift online if you're with us for the first or second time. We want to give you a free ebook. And then three, if you got kids, we got a great kids program downstairs. I'm actually going to be jumping into that process today. I'm going to be helping out with some of the elementary age children. I might not have any. I might have scared them all away. They maybe knew I was going to be doing it. So we'll see how it works out. But it's such a pleasure to be able to serve downstairs and be in the lives of these kids. Such awesome children we have in this church. And I'm so grateful to be able to play even a small part of it in the weeks that I get the opportunity to do so. I get to do that because this morning we got a special guest speaker. And he's special because he's from our church, not from out of our church. So Dave Merritt's going to give the message this morning, which I'm super excited about. I hope you are too. You're going to give a warm welcome in just a few minutes, but I got to hit a couple of things first. As I mentioned to a few folks when they came in, I said, yeah, I had a story to tell about my Hawaiian shirt. I don't, as you can tell, it's not really a Hawaiian shirt, right? It's a lei, and it's like multicolored because I had to get creative. As some of you know, my wife, who I'm not going to speak disparagingly of, but I will tell you some facts. I'm just going to give you facts right now, okay? I don't think she'll watch this back. She's downstairs. But anyway, I'm going to give you some facts. Some facts are that she's a minimalist, all right, or strives to be a minimalist. She's working on that, and I'm not a minimalist, so she's fighting against me. So she likes to keep things nice and tidy and clean and separate and move things out of the way. And so, I don't know, it's probably about 6 months ago, spring, all right, so maybe about six, maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Spring happens, and you know how it is, Vermonters, right? Spring hits, we got to get things going, right? Put things by the road, get things out of the house, you know, open the doors and windows, you know, actually breathe air that's circulating for the first time. And so she's like, man, we're going to go through the closet, and I want you to sort through all these clothes, right? Because I mentioned a few weeks back that I'm old enough where I finally have clothes that are out of date. And I didn't think I'd ever get to this point, but here I was. And so she said, you got to get rid of some of this stuff. You hadn't worn it in like 10, 15 years. Why is it in your closet? I said, well, maybe I'll use it again. Why do I need to get rid of it? Maybe it'll come back around, right? And she's like, no, you got to get rid of it. And so I said, no, you're fine. So I agreed to this. So again, I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm just saying. All right, so I agree to this. So I was going to clean this closet out, and one of the things in the closet was my one Hawaiian shirt. I only had one. It was one. I had one Hawaiian shirt. I actually had matching pants. It was a really cool combo that I had, and it didn't have flowers on it, but it was unique. So I had that sitting in my closet for about, I don't know, 16 years, and I had never worn it since we left North Carolina, you know, eight years ago now. And so she said, well, you might as well get rid of that. You're never going to wear it. I said, you know, you're right. I'll get rid of it. And here we are. I said, let's do Hawaiian Shirt Sunday, because in my mind, I've kept that Hawaiian shirt. And I'm thinking, I've got a Hawaiian shirt. I don't need to worry about it. So, and the procrastinator, Dave, in me says, the shirt's in there. You don't have to worry about it. And then I look in my closet yesterday thinking, hey, I got to get the Hawaiian shirt out and make sure it's not, you know, rotten or something. I don't know. I got to check on it. And I go and look. I'm like, no, it's in here somewhere. It's got to be in here somewhere. No, it was not in there because I tossed it, and I forgot that I had gotten rid of it. So I'm not saying it's my wife's fault, but anyway, so I got rid of it, and I didn't have a Hawaiian shirt. So I had to come up with an ensemble, and thankfully, she tried to make it up. She said, well, I got a lei you can wear. I'm like, all right, I guess that'll do. So Hawaiian Shirt Sunday, embrace the odd, the awkward, the weird, the funny, the all of it together as we're trying to celebrate another week spending time together here in Pownall, Vermont. We've been busy here at Faith, and we had a lot of stuff that we did this past week, and I want to thank you for participating if you had a chance to. Last Monday, all right, so a week, 6 days ago, we had a cookout. We had nearly 100, I think we had over 100, but close to 100 folks here getting free food and had great fellowship and great conversations, and it was an awesome time hanging out on the front lawn of the church together. Before that, some of us even went over to Pownall Trivia Night. Who went to Pownall Trivia Night with me? There was a few of us. All right, that was interesting, right? We learned some really interesting things about Pownall I never knew, right? As a matter of fact, they're doing a series, a continuing thing. So if you want to learn more about Pownall, it's going to be at the library on Mondays, I believe at 5:30. So make sure you go over there and check that out. I think people who grew up in Pownall are going to be giving their stories this Monday. So that was a great experience last week. We had the cookout, and then we had a Faith Kids Club that ran Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for 3 days in a row, and we capped that sucker off with ice cream truck, right? They had an ice cream truck that pulled in, and all the kids got free ice cream and the adults if they wanted it too, and it was just an awesome experience. And so we're hoping to maybe get her to come here, the ice cream truck lady, for Ice Cream Sunday in August, all right? So just looking ahead to August, be sure you put that on your calendar, Ice Cream Sunday, hopefully from an ice cream truck right here in the driveway, all expenses paid for, and don't have to worry about bringing cash because it's like $10 a piece. I'm joking. It's really expensive, but if gas prices keep going up, we're going to have to, like, you know, barter ice cream or something instead of having to, like, purchase it. But so anyway, so keep your eye on that. But it's been so many good things going on. The one big thing I want you to put on your calendar, if you haven't done it already, make sure you got July 30th, Saturday, July 30th, isolated, highlight it, bring it, do whatever you got to do to remember it. From 11 to 2 is Celebrate Pownall Day, all right? So what we're going to do, we're going to have big bounce houses, an obstacle course, cornhole tournament, free food. We're going to have DJ out there. We're going to have sports games. We're going to have some baked goods being on sale. We're going to have so much stuff out there that day that I just want you to be able to jump in on it, to come and to celebrate our community together and invite somebody. Maybe your neighbor, maybe you're like, oh, I don't know if they know about that going on. Hey, 11 to 2, Saturday, July 30th. Don't go out of town that weekend, all right? I know, we're in Vermont. We got to get out of town on the weekends because this weather's too good not to go camp or go to the lake or do something. 11 and 2, Saturday, July 30th, stay in Pownall, all right? Stay in Pownall and celebrate together and enjoy the day together, and it's going to be a great experience. So make sure you got that listed on your calendar. Last thing we always want to highlight is two things. If you're in need, and here's where I want to focus on this morning. I had a call Monday morning and said, hey, we had a person in our community had a fire and lost everything. It was a mother and her daughter, and someone in our church said, hey, I'm just letting you know this is there. If there's anything we can do, you know, here's what they need. And they list clothing and things. And I said, we're going to bless this family. And so we reached out to all of you and said, hey, if you want to donate clothing or money or whatever you can give, this is your opportunity to do that. And so many of you responded. If you haven't yet, you have a chance to do so today or this week as well. And so we've collected bags full of clothes and money and gift cards and a whole bunch of stuff we're going to bless that family with. Now, the beauty of what we're trying to do here, what I strive for us to do at Faith, is that's just the first thing we're going to do, all right? Because often what happens in tragedy is that you reach out in the moment. It's like, oh, yeah, let me help you right here in the moment of crisis. But then after, it's like if life goes on, right? In a small town, you begin to look and begin to think, oh, they got it. They don't need my help anymore. They can handle it or whatever. But so often, that's when people need us the most. And so we're going to try our best to partner with them and say, hey, I know that, you know, we blessed you in the beginning. We want to continue to bless you beyond now. And so maybe you're this person. It might not have been a house fire, but maybe a fuel bill that you are anticipating, or maybe you have from last year that's still there. Maybe it's an electricity bill that as the heat goes up, so is your bill going up. Maybe it's food assistance. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is you're in need of, know that we here at Faith Church want to help you meet that need first and foremost. So look on our website, faithchurchvt.com. Scroll down to the bottom. You'll see all our content and info. We want to bless you and meet that need in your life. And it's no strings attached. So many times I hear people say, well, what do I have to do? I'll repay you, or I'll do whatever. No strings. No strings whatsoever. So we want to know that we are here for you, wherever you are, whatever you need. Reach out to us. We will do our best to bless you in that moment and beyond that moment. Now, if you're here and you have the opportunity to be generous this morning, I love the opportunity to be generous. I love when I get extra because that means I get to give extra away, right? So when a things like a house fire happens, I can go back in the margins of my budget. I can say, man, thank God we've saved up this $100. Or thank God that money that we didn't even expect to have at the end of the month, now we can give it away to somebody who's in need. So if you don't live your life that way, I want to encourage you. One, Jesus calls us to live our life that way, that he has blessed us with so much that he says, live generously, live open-handedly, that you don't have to close it up and be like, man, I got to keep it and hoard it for myself because if I don't have enough, then I'm not good. He's saying, I've given you all you need day by day. So I'm going to give you even a little extra. And what I want you to do with that extra is not pocket it in your 401k or not put it back and stock up on fuel for the winter. I want you to radically, generously give it away, knowing that I'm going to still take care of you and take care of someone else through you. That's how that works. All right. So if you're ever considering like, I don't know what I have enough to give. If you have anything, and sometimes it requires sacrifice. Sometimes it requires you saying, man, I've got bills to pay. I've got bills that I don't need to have bills for. Right. I told Dave this yesterday. I got subscriptions or stuff that I don't even know why I have them. And my wife tells me, we got to get rid of it. I'm like, you're right. Because if we save that $10 at the end of the year, I can give that $200, $300, $400 to somebody who needs it. That's living like Jesus calls us to live with our finances. And so this morning, if you haven't built that margin in, I want to encourage you to build that margin in. But second, if you want to give and give sacrificially even, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Because how you give and what you give is what drives ministry forward here at Faith. It's how we bless people with house fires. It's how we bless the Pound and Rescue Squad who needs funds every month practically to keep sustaining. People who save our lives, we're trying to bless them. It's how we do everything. Celebrate Poundle Day all through your generosity. And you guys are already rock stars. You're already killing it. You're already doing such a great job. I just want to encourage you to keep going. So if you want to keep giving, I encourage you to do so. FaithChurchVT.com. Again, there's a little give button on the top. You just press it. You can give electronically, super simple, or physically. You can give in the baskets to my left and right and in the back and in the cafe. There's multiple ways to do that, but I want to thank you so much for all that you do here to support Pownell and its people, this community we live in and breathe in and work in. So thank you guys for that. All right, so last thing so I can hush and get downstairs because the kids are waiting for me, I bet. So we're going to jump into our special speaker this morning. He is super special. I've spent a lot of time this week with Dave, and he is an awesome individual. And I mean that in the glowing of terms. I don't mean that in any disparaging way, Dave. It's not sarcasm at all. Trust me, it is legitimate. And so let's give Dave Warren a round of applause as he comes up to give us a message this morning.
Thank you, Jason.
Need a water or anything?
Oh, yeah, I'll just use
fine.
That. Oh,
you want to drink after me?
Oh, that's fine. We're all in the same family. It's all good.
All right.
Hey, Jason, God told me to wing it.
Thank you,
Dylan. Oh, good morning. I don't know if I'm glad to be up here again. Yes, I am. I'm glad to be up here again. I still got the initial shakes. That didn't get any better. I thought it would get better the second time, but I'm still kind of nervous. So at least all your faces are real friendly this morning, or I just can't see. But so it's really tough putting together the way Jason wanted to do it, where we actually break down scripture and we use the scripture and get inspiration out of it. And what is it actually saying to us? And I ran into a lot of challenges this week, and I know a lot of people were praying for me, and I really appreciate that. I really needed it, because not only were things throughout life were running into me, but also I was running into myself. I always found other things to do besides digging in, reading, and pulling out what I needed to talk about today. So I think I did it. So we'll start off with the usual. I do have a question for you, and then we'll take five and come back around. So the question this morning, which is kind of similar to a question that Jason had, I don't know, I want to say a couple months ago, and his question is, what did you want to be when you grow up? And this one, as I was thinking and going through these passages, was what did your parents want you to be or think you were going to be when you grew up, or somebody else in your life? I know we have a lot of people that are like, hey, you're going to be good at whatever. So think about that. Find an answer. We'll take five. Get a coffee. I know the FOPS brought some delicious iced tea. And then we'll come back and we'll get some answers to those questions. All right, I think that was 5 minutes. So yeah, has anybody come up with some answers? What is something that your parents thought you would be good at when you grew up, or somebody else?
Oh, it wasn't my parents, but they didn't really encourage a whole lot. But I used to watch, this is me personally, I used to watch BJ and the Bear when I was growing up. And I wanted to be a truck driver.
Oh, nice.
And I even built like this little model of a teal Peterbilt and little one of a Kenworth. And like I knew all about tractor trailers and stuff. But I mean, that was just when I was really young.
Yeah, you're speaking to Walt's heart right now. Anybody else? Oh.
I don't know what my dad wanted me to be, but I know he used to tell me all the time, because he drove trucks.
Yeah.
Boy, stay away from them trucks. Stay away from them trucks. Get an education. Do what you want to do. I said, Dad, I want to drive a truck. Stay away from them trucks.
Hey there. So I'm short. I'm 4'10". And when I was younger, I wanted to be the person at the gas station that washed windshields, because I couldn't reach as a kid. I still can't really reach. But I thought it was so cool that when you would go to the gas station to get gas, this is like, you know, 40 years ago, yeah, and they would wash your windshield for you. I thought that was the neatest thing ever. So I wanted to pump gas and wash windshields when I grew
up. Awesome. Well, they make those extender poles now, too. Still make the dream come true.
I always wanted to be a grocer checker, you know, at the grocery store, because when we were little, we always went to the Grand Union.
Yeah.
My mom wanted me to be a nurse, because she was a nurse, but no. But I wanted to be a grocery checker. I thought that was the most awesome thing, punching in, because then they had to punch in on the register and then pull the thing down, yeah, and punch in, you know. No price checks or anything like that, you know. But, yeah.
They knew. I wanted to do that, too, actually.
See?
I really, yeah, I'm relating to that. Okay. Anyone else got any good ones here out there?
My mother was very supportive. She really wanted to be a concert pianist, because I learned piano pretty early, and she thought that was a great thing for me. And my father was much more practical. He wanted to be a Starbucks manager.
I heard they make good money. All right, well, I think that's it. So mine, it's pretty boring, actually. My mom wanted me to either be, I believe, I should have called her and said, Mom, I don't remember. What do you want me to be when I grow up? I'm pretty sure it was a teacher or a musician, because those are her two passions. My dad always told me, don't follow in my footsteps, although I really appreciated his job, because he was a measurement specialist for the Forest Service. And then other people in my life, Anne always thought that I would be good at mechanical engineering, because I like to take things apart. But all that, but it's kind of like digging into this. Like I couldn't retain half of what I read, and then Jason said about 50,000 things, and I don't remember any of those. So I'm like, okay, the learning side of it is kind of difficult for me. And then my mother-in-law Sandy, she wanted me to be. She thought I'd be good at hospital equipment delivery, because they kind of have a sales. You communicate with a lot of people, a lot of interaction. I was like, yeah, I think I might like that too. But like Walt, I'm a truck driver, so apparently I need my solitude. And it's fun too, because I have had a chance to meet a lot of people and travel the country. So there's some good parts to it. There's a lot of boring parts too. You know, you're just kind of sitting, looking out the window. What's that? What's that smell? Yeah, things like that. So there are people, like I mentioned, there are people in our lives that notice things about us that we don't. So we're doing Swimming Upstream, which is 2 Timothy, 4 verses. We chose it, and actually, after going through that and now being back up here, and I wish Ron Dwyer was here today, because I owe him an apology. At our meeting, I threw him under the bus because he wasn't there. And now it's my turn. Now I'm up here. Now, you know, I've got to dig into it. And so, yeah, I made a couple mistakes. One was throwing Ron under the bus. And then I opened, and I think it's one of those things I just need to learn to keep my mouth shut. I'm not good at that. And the second one was like, hey, how about we do 2 Timothy? It's got four verses and or four chapters, and there's four of us. Well, and then digging into this was quite a challenge, and pulling out what I needed to do. And it took till about Friday morning at 1 o'clock in the morning after I got done with work, and all of the things that Jason and I were talking about, all the things that I was reading, and I was kind of going back to that retention thing is, it just, what am I supposed to write about? What am I supposed to write about? God, where, you know, I'm like, God, I'm praying. I'm trying to stay away from distractions, which was a lie because I kept allowing myself to get distracted. And where's it at? And I had one of my favorite sodas is Coke Zero. And so probably later on in my shift, I had had a Coke Zero. And then I got home, and through caffeine and the Holy Spirit, I started going to town at probably from 1 o'clock in the morning till about 3 in the morning, and it just all came out at once. And then I've tried to go back through it and make it legible for myself, and hopefully it's what I can pass on to you guys of what I pulled out of it. So in this section, we're in the third chapter of 2 Timothy, and my little thing is, what is my purpose, God? Who am I supposed to be? So I like speakers that have the answers. You know, you get a clear cut, here's the problem, here's the solution, you do this, you have the answer. Two people stick out. One is George Sweet. And I don't know all of you, if I think most of you were here a couple months ago when he filled in for Jason when they were on vacation. And he is one of those guys. The question that he answered, for me anyways, how do you know when you've truly forgiven someone? And he had the clearest answer for me, and for me, I don't know what you guys got out of that, but when you no longer seek to get even or take vengeance on that person, I'd never heard that before, because I'm like, why can't I let this go? All these other things coming out, and I'm like, and then he said, ask yourself, do you want to get even, seek vengeance? Well, if you haven't, you've forgiven them. Good deal. The second person is an author by the name of Richard James. And I don't think a lot of people have heard of him, but he wrote a book called Passive Income Ideas. And over the years, I've read quite a few of like, oh, how do I make money on the side? Different ideas. And like one of the famous ones is like Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, you know, how can I be better about money? And I know, I can't remember the other author, but he's really popular as far as like, how do you manage your money? Probably popped to me after the sermon. But this guy is one of those guys. Some of these other books, you get a vague idea and then you completely forget all of it as soon as you put the book down. He gives you an idea, he gives you a track, and if you do what he tells you, you will see similar results. I love people like this. If there's a problem, they have a solution, boom, and you're done. Unfortunately, I'm not that guy. But Paul is. You got a problem? Well, Paul's got a solution. He's your problem solver. He's going to add a revolver, rhymes with that too, but he wasn't packing. He was packing something else, though. Though sometimes we don't like his answer. He tends to hold up a mirror in his scripture and or in his letters that we look into, and it shows all. That was going to be another one of my questions. How long have you gone without looking in a mirror? And I think I made it 2 weeks once. Really easy to do when you're over the road, and you forget what you look like. You're like, oh, wow, I need to take care of myself. So it kind of going back to the got the answers, it made me think about and this is a little off. It's sort of half true, is what Anna was telling me. When Anna and I were dating and first married, she would say things like, ask me questions, I'd have the answers. She's like, wow, you know everything. Until a few years in, she caught on that half of what I said was made up, even though it sounded reasonable and convincing. In 2 Timothy 3, Paul is going to present Timothy with a problem. We'll read verses 1 through 5 to really focus on the problem. We won't be reading these, but in verses 6 through 9, you get a sense that Paul is referring to leaders in the community, maybe elders in the church, people that have strong influence. And that have these teachers, false teachers, have been leading others astray. I suggest that in verses 1 through 5 are not only for Timothy and the things that he's about to go through, but they're also a good mirror for us to be looking at. I definitely was impacted by reading those first five. So I'm going to start, and if you guys want to follow along, like I said, it'll be 2 Timothy, it'll be chapter 3, and I'm going to start, I'm just going to get the list out there in verses 1 through 5. But understand, understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Paul loves a good list. He uses them like a broad brush, not a precise tool. That's the other reason I wish Ron was here, because he was going to bring, for the workday yesterday, an 18-inch roller. And he was telling me when I ran into him earlier in the week, he could knock it out by himself. So Paul, he makes the greatest impact with this broad brush by not excluding anyone. He's a very inclusive person. We're all on that list in one way or another. Many of these words pop out. Reckless, without self-control, also self-absorbed, pleasure-seeking. Paul is painting Timothy a picture of false teachers as a warning to Timothy not to give in to self and to hold firm to the gospel of Jesus, which fosters a God-centered desire. I think a lot of us can know that feeling. The more you get into it, the more you get out of it. So you got kind of this balance that he's trying to strike where self-centered desire versus God-centered desire. And a lot of these people in the church are, you know, self-centered desire is way up here. The appearance of godliness. So this is kind of more of a self-centered desire, is the appearance of godliness, of having it all together, powerful, wise, and in control. But in reality, they are powerless, and we'll see what effects this has in the next section. We wrestle with the desire of self, to take things we like and discard what we don't, to meet our standards and satisfy our selfish needs. So I was kind of deliberating. There's always like good examples. You know, some people are really good, some teachers are really good at using just biblical text. And then almost like Jesus, Jesus had all of his parables. And so it made a good impact. But I'm thinking modern teachers, they can go through the whole Bible without any personal stories and make a good impact. I like the personal stories, maybe embarrassing, but they're pretty fun. So in 2004, the place that I would daily drive on, there was this billboard that went up. And the Nissan Titan, Nissan was finally making a full-size truck. And that billboard was all over the place, all of 2004. Man, all this, and you know, in those car commercials, they're like, look at all the stuff that you can do. and I was hauling a lot of stuff, working as a property manager. I was like, man, I could do so much with that 2004 Nissan Titan. So in March of 2005, Ann and I get married. And 3 months later, guess what I do? I go buy a brand new Nissan Titan 2005. I show up at home, honey, look what I got. Aren't you excited? No. I was very focused on this. This is what I need. This is what's going to satisfy everything. This is what's going to accomplish what I need to get accomplished. Other, you know, people say that gambling is very self-absorbed thing too. You just like trying to get as much money for as little as possible. The other one that kind of came to mind is kind of like the self-love in our culture today. Like, yeah, we need time for ourselves, but there is just an absolute wave of take care of yourself and nobody else. How do we begin to move from self-centered desire to God-centered desire? Solution. We just hit on the problem that Timothy has to face, and we also have to face. We have several examples of individuals, groups, professing love and godliness that actually only have eyes for themselves. Government leaders, different activist groups, celebrities, friends, family, even sometimes ourselves. I guess I got kind of caught up in the list making after all of Paul's list. I've looked back on my life and numerous times I've acted in self-interest over God interest. We could be up here all day with stories. I got a lot of them. We'll see in the next section how Paul provides Timothy with a solution. So now let's carry on into verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Now, Paul is speaking in first person. He's referring to himself here. But the question that I had, where did Paul get these virtues from? I'll give you a clue. It's the go-to, always correct answer for Sunday school Bible questions. Anybody? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. He's falling back on Christ. Paul is falling back on Christ. His teaching, aim, faith, etc. Through Paul and Timothy previously living together, traveling, and spreading the gospel, Timothy has already learned these things. And Paul is just giving him a reminder. You can kind of start feeling at this point, at least I did, in these verses, like he is really starting to build Timothy up. Paul is reminding him, almost like a father and a mentor. It's like he's already gone through the training. He's already gone through the learning. He's 18. He's out of the house. But I know I went through this in life where I didn't think what I had what it took. And I'd always be going back to my parents, like, how do you do this? You know, how do you make spaghetti? I forgot. All I know is ramen and hot dogs. He's telling him, you got the right stuff. Timothy, you have what it takes. All right, let's get into this a little bit more. Verse 11, because 10 and 11 kind of go together. It actually, there's no period, there's actually a comma. So think of 10, we're flowing right into 11. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet, from all of them, the Lord rescued me. My persecutions and my sufferings, and the Lord rescued me from all. So 10, he's referring to, remember your teachings, and that you got this part. And then 11, remember the things God has brought you through. He's brought you through the persecutions. He's brought you through the sufferings. Now, up until recently, I would have said that here in the States, we don't see a lot of persecution. We see a lot of guilt and shame for our beliefs. But more recently, especially with the Supreme Court rulings, we're seeing more violence at church. I said before that, I might have used an example. Anna gave me some ideas of China. And I'm sure Iran. I forgot what the other example. I should have written it down because we actually had a friend, Astari, that almost lost his life for being a Christian in his country. And so I was trying to go through it. I was like, what are the, because I wanted relatable things. I always like relatable things. And I was just like, across the world, we have a lot of examples. And now with tensions, we're seeing a lot more examples. And I was thinking, what is the time that I've been persecuted? And it kind of took me back when I was in sixth grade in school. And I'll carry into this a little bit more of some of my background, especially when I was younger. But man, I was on fire for God. I'd wear a cross every day. I would pray before lunch. And there was this one day, two eighth graders had come up to me. And first started questioning me about, oh man, you like, they kind of did one of those things where like, you know, you strong arm somebody with your body. And I got pushed up against a tree. And they looked at my cross. They're like, oh yeah, you believe in Jesus? I was like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And I was like, at the moment, as a kid, I'm like, this is what they were talking about in Sunday school. This is my opportunity to witness. And so I was like, yeah, you guys want to know about him? And he's like, does that mean you believe in the devil too? And I think about it, it's like, man, this kid was so cheesy. And I was like, well, yeah, the devil's very real as well. And he's like, well, I believe in the devil. I'm like, well, you know Jesus loves you. Man, he popped, choked me right up against that tree. I almost passed out. And his buddy was saying, whoa, 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 easy, 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 easy. And then he's like, I forgot all the stuff he said. I swear, well, Anna says, after I told her the story, this kid must have been possessed. And he started going on and on and on about like how he was going to rip that cross from my throat, and he was going to do all these awful things because I believed in Jesus. And I stood there, and I was so angry, and I wanted to fight back, and I wanted to punch and kick, and because it was also like overwhelming too, because being a short sixth grader at that time, I wish I was the size I was now, but a short sixth grader at that time, and punch and kick and fight and defend, you know, it's almost like if somebody insulted your mother, man, you're going to punch them out. You're going to take them out. Nobody insults my mom. Nobody insults my Jesus. But does Jesus want us to be violent in that moment? So I just kept on saying over and over, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And he's like, Satan is my man, Satan is my man. He's like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then that's all I could say was Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And he finally got tired of me, and he let go. And I forgot the last thing that he said, and he walked away. And it was funny because he was a short kid, and he wasn't really recognizable. Or he wouldn't stick out in a crowd. And the other kid that was with him that was kind of along the ride for the bullying, he was a pretty tall, big guy. And he was the one, he started getting really nervous, started looking really weird. And they left, and he turned to me, and he said, don't tell anybody. I'll go back to juvie. So that was my persecution story. That was the closest thing that I had. You know, it's just like, my life wasn't really a threat. Like, somebody would have stopped it if he'd pulled out a knife or whatever. But anyway, and then I was remembering the other part of this. It was like, remember the things that God has brought you through. And again, like numerous amounts of examples that we have in life. One of ours for Anna and I is during the housing crisis, a recession, 2008, we had no money. It was shortly after Ilse was born. We had bills coming in. We didn't have a lot of money coming back in. Our families had helped us numerous amounts of time. We still weren't catching up. We're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's like, we're obviously back down praying, you know, on our knees, like, God, pull us through this. God, pull us through this. And it was at a funny time, and there was a stewardship thing that Anna had reminded me about at our church that day. And they were talking about giving, and it's like, how can we give? We have nothing to give at this point. And what was interesting is we found how to give. And we got pulled out of that. And it was almost, I've talked to Ron about these stories too, because he has a lot of examples as well. And I wouldn't say that it was instantaneous, but all of a sudden it was like night and day. It went from nothing to being blessed, overflowing. So kind of back on the last verse, which would be verse 11, I thought this was interesting. So this is another thing that I got sidetracked while I was writing these things out. I went down, you'd say a rabbit hole, I was going down mine shafts. I was like, ooh, what is that? So I went back into Acts, and I decided I'm going to go back through and read through Acts, because I forgot all the good stuff that was in there. So when Paul was being persecuted in Iconium, he was under threat of stoning. There was a big fight that broke out in the city because of unbelieving Jews, and it was like one side of the city was fighting another side of the city, and Paul and company got caught up in it. And the Lystra was the other, at least the first part of that was more funny. Like, they got confused as Greek gods. You know, Barnabas was Zeus, and I think Paul was Hermes. I was like, man, you know, everyday stuff for these guys. But we'll continue on. So we'll go into verses 12 and 13 now. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. These two verses are companions. Applying what has been said, they show two futures. One, being persecuted because of a true godly life in Christ Jesus. But remember, rescued from all. He's our rescuer. He will always pull us out. The second future, going from bad to worse. Most of us know what that's like in many different ways. So this is an example of Paul giving Timothy an example of, like, here's the future. You only got two options. Guard yourself. You will have to deal with this. All right, rolling right along into verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it. Who have you learned it? Again, it points to a succession of teachers and learning. Again, where's Ron Dwyer at? This fits Ron's question from last week very well. What teacher impacted you the most? I mean, clearly it's going from, we know Paul's impact from Christ's witness and the direct, like, his conversion. And then now he's like passing this on to Timothy, and they've spent so much time together. It's just like you can see a pattern here. What teacher impacted you the most? And this, so we had past. Remember what you've been brought out of. Remember who you are. We have future, two options, and we have now the present orientation. Who have you learned it from? What do you firmly believe in, trust in? Self? Christ? What do you, excuse me. I was joking with Anna. I accidentally printed two copies out, and I made a bunch of corrections. And then I was setting aside the one that I'd be taking here. And then I realized, caught it last minute, I actually set aside the one with all the corrections on it. That's how I was going to end up with like two pages 11 or something like that and repeat myself. Be like, wait a minute, deja vu, what's going on here? Something wrong in the matrix. It continues in verse 15 to personally impact Timothy. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Bible, right? Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You guys feeling it? I am. I was feeling it at 1 o'clock in the morning. I can imagine Timothy really starting to feel it as well. Paul is digging. He is going deep into Timothy's history, and he's not pulling any punches. What is he screaming? I know who you are. I know who you're supposed to be. Actually, I thought I was going to wake Anna up with that one because I shouted it out loud. When that popped up off the page, I was like, wow, this is screaming at me. Do we know who we are and who God made us to be? Like I said, I'd share a little bit about my upbringing. I was raised in church pretty much ever since I can remember. It was a weekly, maybe three times a week thing. We would every night before dinner, we would read a scripture and we'd pray. And don't you dare even look at your food. Man, we gotta give all glory to God first. Don't even think about that food. We gotta pray. Of course, you have those classic things at that moment, like, Hannah was looking. How do you know she was looking? So yeah, reading the Bible every day. Like, I know these things. I was raised in these things. I was trying to practice these things at school. And immersed into the verse memorizations. I'm like, what happened to that? Jason was referring to it as a special guest, and I was like, yeah, I rode the short bus to school. These things, as I went into adulthood, like I continually am striving to get back to that, almost like the innocence of a child. And, you know, Jesus' reference, like the faith of children, because that's where it was at. You know, I don't know if you guys have Awana or something like that, but out in the West, Awana was a big deal, and it was almost like Olympic sports, but like Bible oriented. So you do like these Bible studies, and then you'd like run around track and try different feats, and then you'd compete, and it was all based on having fun with a lot of kids, but also biblically based as well. You know, church camps, winter, summer, every single year. Every day taught salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, when I mean, this was so strong and made such an impression on me, even at 5 years old. That's when I went to my parents and I say, I believe. And I said, I said the prayer. I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I want to be baptized. I want to show the world what I believe in. And that's how deep it was in my childhood. So as I was reading through this, and I said, I know Paul is setting this up to, you know, help Timothy move into the role that he's supposed to move into. But man, time after time after time. And how from childhood you were acquainted with the sacred writings. I was like, man, that is me. I don't know what God's plan is for me. He's working, you know, day in and day out in all of our lives. And we just pray that we are meeting that challenge and stepping forward to what that is. But yeah, so many things in that. All right, we're going to move into verse 16 now. We're going to start wrapping it up. I like Ron. He knew how many minutes he was going to go. I didn't know. These guys know so many things. Okay, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Hey, Tim, or Timothy, or Timmy, not only do you got this, but all scripture can be used for reproof, correction, and training. Guess what? It's at your fingertips. He's got it. We got it. But it has to be learned. This is one thing that I've fallen away from over my years. I told Jason I have a lot of these like mini revivals in my life. Oh, man, I got to get straight with God, and I'll dive back into it, and then I'll find myself kind of slipping again. But it's like, yeah, we've got to continue. It has to be learned, like a skill. As it said, it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill. Man, imagine what we could tell each other if we had 10,000 hours in the Bible. all of us as a community. All right. 17. The man of God may be complete. Oh, okay, so this is again one of those things. It was hard to break up because there was a comma at the end of 16, so these kind of flow together. So comma. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I would add, for every battle as well, every battle that we face. We are not complete. How do we become complete? How do we solve the problem? Continue in what you have learned and that you firmly believe in. It's our entire earthly life. We must always be working at it. Okay, let's bow our heads. I want to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this community. I thank you for the faith that is in this community and the faith that is in this church. Heavenly Father, we have a lot that we need help in our own lives and a lot that our community needs help in. And I'd like to talk also to seekers today. And I want to pray for the seekers today. If you're tired of the bad to worse, does rescue by Jesus Christ feel like what you need? If so, then say these words from your heart. Jesus, I confess that I can't do this without you. I have focused on myself for too long. I believe that you died on the cross for my salvation, that you shed your blood, that your shed blood was washed, has washed me clean. I accept you into my heart. Fill me with your Spirit. God, fill us with your Spirit. Even as believers, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would lay your Spirit on our hearts. Because we can so easily fall away from God's path and we can get stuck in the bad to worse, Heavenly Father. Give us the strength and resolve to continue to learn and grow. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, we're going to sing, I think, right? Yeah, we want to praise Jesus.